kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To take our teaching on the seven churches in Asia Minor, which we started last week, if you remember, the church at Philadelphia, and we are calling these teachings the warning of the seven churches today. The warning of the seven churches today, and this is part two of this teaching. And like all things, the book of Revelation or the Apocalypse, as it can be called, is, as we know, it's a book of unveiling. And because it's a book that is unveiling, we cannot know any of this unless the Holy Spirit anoints and teaches us. And not only that, but there is a right timing for all of this as well. So I truly believe that we are now beginning to experience the unveiling of the book of Revelation as the Spirit is now speaking to the church in these last days. And as the admonition goes with this, that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. All of this is absolutely imperative. So we will take it up in chapter 2. We looked at the church at Philadelphia last time. That's all down on tape and on our website. So we will continue now with the church at Smyrna, and this is the persecuted church, and we'll take it up from chapter 2 verses 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So as I've been describing, we glean from these churches, which are types today, the Spirit is speaking today to us and taking from these different churches where we are to apply wisdom and understanding. We are to learn what is being said here because each of these apply in some way. Now, I've already just stressed that this is the persecuted church. All believers, as we know, go through a measure of trial and testing. And we also know that there are many in Christendom that try to avoid in any way they can these trials and these tests by often running away or not listening as they should, or simply totally trusting in the arm of the flesh, failing to realize that these trials and the tests of our faith, which of course are not only tailor-made for us, but they are to help us to mature and to grow in the faith. You see, God never makes a mistake with our trials. And we soon begin to learn this, particularly if we find that a certain trial keeps coming up again and again. We soon begin to get to realize that God is getting our attention and that I'm going through this because I have to learn, I've got to overcome. And very often the trials, which of course expose the unbelief, the fear, the doubt, the confusion, the trials are in such a way for us to be delivered through these trials. And we have shown you over the years that much of our deliverance in these trials is simply letting go. Just go along with it. It's like you're in a boat and suddenly you hit the rapids. To survive rapids, you go along with the current. You don't try and fight against it. And it's exactly the same in our trials. We, instead of fighting God and resisting him, just letting go and yielding over to the Spirit and just be carried along with him through the trial, remembering that he's not left you on your own, he's with you also as well, until you come out the other side, and you always come out in healing and deliverance. That is the nature of them. But we have many who run away and avoid them. And we have to accept also that we live in a fallen world. And this fallen world is waiting for release from groaning creation, Romans 8. So there is a level of testing and trying. Even the world goes through tests and trials. Your own family go through it. But we as believers have the insight and understanding, and we above all have the Holy Spirit, who is showing us and teaching us what these trials are for. And so, as I said, this church at Smyrna is a persecuted church, and the message of this church, and it's interesting actually to know that this church, through about the second and third century, this actual church went through great persecution. And this persecution was under the Romans. And the Romans were basically out to try and get rid of Christianity, to banish it completely. And we know from history that this church suffered a lot of persecution. And they faced terrible atrocities. We're told that quite a few million in this area over the 200 years, 300 years were martyred. Many of them were thrown to the lions or crucified, or abominable things were done to them. And so this is why God is speaking to this church in such a way. And as he says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. So in many ways, under this persecution, he's revealing himself as the Alpha, the Omega. It isn't just death, it's also life. And even though they're going through persecution, keep your eyes on the resurrection. The same as Jesus, when he set his face to go to the cross, he looked beyond the cross and he looked to the resurrection that was going to come as a result of the cross. Now, what is this saying today in these closing days. This, of course, was what was happening some 200-300 years after Christ's death and resurrection. It was going through persecution and so forth. And we know that the book of Revelation is to show us what is to come. So its nature is for the future. It's an unveiling. So what is this saying? What is this saying to Christians, to the church, even to FGA? Well, we get a glimpse of this if we turn to Revelation 13 and verse 15. Revelation 13 and verse 15, which speaks of the beast rising up out of the sea and introducing the mark of the beast. And listen to what it says in verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now we know in Revelation 12, when the man-child, the overcomers, is snatched away, in other words, the bride has made herself ready, we know that the woman flees into the wilderness, and also her seed as well. So she is left there for persecution. This is where God is now going to test those that are left and the foolish virgins that didn't get that extra oil. And we also see in Revelation 6 and verse 9, Revelation 6 verse 9, this is the woman that is left, and this is the warning, the church at Smyrna, to the foolish virgins who need to wake up. And we see in Revelation 6 and verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So here under the fifth seal is the cry of the martyrs. And we also see, finally, in Revelation 20, and verse 4, those who come out of the great tribulation, the martyrs, and he says in Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So they also who resist the mark of the beast will live and reign with Christ. So we begin to understand now what is happening through the Great Tribulation, as the mark of the beast is introduced, and there will be various martyrs coming forth. We know from Revelation 12 that the woman that flees into the wilderness, there is a remnant that's also preserved, protected. We know that because she flees into the wilderness. So there is something during that time that God is going to preserve some, and they're possibly going to be preserved because they are the ones that go through into the millennium. So they haven't got their new resurrected bodies. They still are after the flesh. So with that understanding, we begin to realize now why we have the church at Smyrna. And turning back to this now, in verse 9, he says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, that you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So this church is facing persecution. They did under the Romans. And he says, I know what you're going through. I know about this tribulation. I know the poverty, how wretched, how miserable you feel, how that you're outcast, you're not accepted in society and so on. This is the idea of what it means. But you are rich. Even in your persecution, your rejection, you may even be poor, but I want to tell you, you are mightily rich. And remember that. God never looks at the accumulation of what we have in this life, or what sort of home we live in, or what type of job we have, or how big our bank balance is. God doesn't look like the world looks. He is saying to this church, you are rich. And he says, I know those who blaspheme. Well, I'm reminded of the blasphemy from the scribes and the Pharisees, where Jesus was confronted by these religious leaders. And they proudly made it known, didn't they, to Jesus, we are of the Abrahamic seed. Abraham is our father, if you remember the discourse that was going on there. And what did Jesus say? Well, he said that then you would believe on me if you are of your father Abraham. Why are you rejecting me? You should be receiving me. You see, they couldn't see. That was the problem. And the problem, of course, is today, how do we bring this into the 21st century? Well, circumcision is now of the heart. And that is the difference. You see, many still trust in the law. There are many believers want to go back under the law. And it's a tragedy. And when that happens, you're taking your eyes off the Lord. This, of course, is why the Apostle Paul wrote the letter that he did to the book, to the Galatians, because of that problem that was happening there. And so we have this here because it's saying there are those who will, under persecution, go back under the law. And probably to try and escape the Antichrist or the mark of the beast. You see, it's going to be a time where it's going to expose all sorts of things in professing Christendom. Because this is a great big trial. They've already known they have missed the rapture. They know what is facing them. And so it's also going to be a time of confusion. And God is going to test the hearts of those who are truly in Christ and those who are not, you see. And we see where Jesus brings this out, doesn't he? Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 5. In the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew 5 and verse 20, he says, For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So that is what it means. In other words, he's saying you receive it now by faith, not under the law. not relying on man, the flesh. It's received in the heart by faith. And of course, the parable of the sower clearly reveals how we receive this. Are you hearing by faith, or are you still hearing under the law? That is the question. The law, as we know, is not outward anymore. It is spiritual. It is in the heart. And that is why your heart has to change. A new creation, made new. Otherwise, you will always receive it in the law. You trying to be good, trying to do it God's way. And we've all fallen short of that, haven't we? We've all at times been in the flesh where we're trying to do it. Well, of course, this is the sort of thing he's exposing here. And he says, I know the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So something in persecution. And of course, not only will Christians be persecuted, but we know also that the Antichrist is going to turn to Israel, God's people as well. We know there's going to be a bloodbath. So you do not want to be around at that time. And this is the grace and love and mercy of God. I have received some tremendous opposition on Instagram with regard to the rapture. There are many on there who believe they are going through the tribulation. They can't see the rapture. And it's absolutely opened my eyes to the confusion that is in Christendom. Oh, and they know how to use the scriptures. They can write their scriptures and everything. But it's absolutely amazing. It really has opened my eyes. And of course, if that's what they believe, then that is what they will receive. But you see, it comes back. The major problem in understanding the book of Revelation that is really affecting the church today is they do not understand Revelation 12 and the man-child. They're making the book of Revelation out to Israel. And it isn't. It's the seven Gentile churches. And they haven't liked that fact that I put there. That has actually challenged some of them. But anything they can find, they want to make it for Israel. And one of the things that I believe God has been opening my eyes in all of this is that they're almost making the body of Christ Israel. Some of them are so overboard that they're neglecting to see that Christ is head of his body, which contains Jew, Greek, Gentile, and so on. But this is what happens when you see confusion and doctrines of demons that just get in. But praise God, we are blessed how the Lord is teaching and showing us, because we always approach the Word of God in humility and bowed knees, and in a heart and attitude that we know nothing unless it is revealed to us by his mercy and grace. And so, as we're looking then at all of this, they are facing great persecution and what is going to come ahead of them. We see that this church, that there is a call, there is, in other words, I should say, with this church, we notice that there's no call to repentance, unlike the others, and apart from the church at Philadelphia. There's no call here with this church to repent. They're going through the fiery furnace. They're now facing their purging. This message reveals those who are at the receiving end of Antichrist. That's what this message is here. I wonder how many actually understand this in this light. And that's why our trials, brothers and sisters, are not now to be avoided, but they are a means of purifying us. They are a means of preparing us as the bride, ready to be married to the bridegroom. And many, sadly, are avoiding these trials. And we're told that it's the only way that you'll make it into the kingdom of God. Let's just remind ourselves as we bring this to a conclusion in the light of what we're talking here. We know very, very well in the book of Acts 14 and verse 22, which says very clearly here, strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And that's how we do it. And we don't avoid such scriptures. We don't ignore them. But we take the whole counsel of God's word, including also what he says about this. And what does he say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So there we are. He left us an example. And he went through sufferings and trials, and he's left it as an example, a witness to us, because we follow him, we follow his steps. So we shouldn't think it strange. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, and verses 12 to 16, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And it goes on, and if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. That's not what, in other words, we're to be persecuted for. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And we know that judgment is happening in the house of God. It's all part of the shaking in Hebrews 12. God is judging the house of God. And we go back to the church of Smyrna, and he's going to permit those who are left behind to be judged. It's part of judging, the purging, the purifying of the church. So, what do we glean from all of this? Well, the faithful, The wise virgins are the ones who are overcoming in all things. They are getting delivered from their fears, unbeliefs. They're going through the trials and the tribulations, and they're remaining faithful to the end. And that is what is said here to this church at Smyrna. So he says, do not fear, in verse 10 of Revelation 2, do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So there we are. Look what persecution is going to do. The Lord is going to be faithful. This is a message of comfort to this church. And he's saying, be faithful. God is always looking for faithfulness. He's looking for faithfulness from us, that we endure to the end, the teaching, the overcoming, the learning, the trials and the testings. And he's saying also to this church, you too be faithful, even if it's unto physical death. That is what gives you a crown. And this is, of course, what makes the first fruits out of the harvest. So there we are, brothers and sisters, the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church, and how we can glean from this. And it's a warning to us. It's to teach us, because that's what these churches are. This is what we find today around in Christendom. And we can glean from this so that we can be those wise virgins with that vessel of oil filled, ready, equipped for when the bridegroom comes and he calls us up. Because the love of the Father is to take those unto himself. You see, a natural father will do anything to protect their child, particularly from harm. Well, how much more will our Heavenly Father protect us from the Antichrist, who comes in great wrath to make anger against the church? Our God is faithful, but we must apply that wisdom. We must hear what the Spirit says and not resist, but yield over and let him do that work through us. And we will find that way of escape.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All life's done.